When a child grows up in a home where mom and dad have gotten a divorce, that experience will follow him into his own marriage. That was the case for Dave Wilson.
I had no idea how the past was coming like a bag of luggage into my marriage. Anne had no idea. And so that, she's a strong woman, and she was pushing and I was leaving. You know, whether I went to another room or literally just emotionally shut down. Again, not connecting any of these dots. It took years. We connected them eventually, but that's where we started.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Dave and Ann talked today about how their marriage was impacted by the fact that Dave grew up in a home where mom and dad got a divorce. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I just have to say, you got pretty transparent this week, and you're always transparent. I mean, that's just who both of you are. You are kind of, here's who we are, not hiding anything, people, right?
Yeah, but this conversation—
This was a little different.
On the counseling couch. Can I get up now?
No.
You guys got me laying
this
here.
This is good stuff.
Anne is loving this. I don't know. This is crazy.
We have got Ron Deal joining us this week. Ron, welcome back.
Thank you.
Ron gives leadership to Family Life Blended. He is giving leadership to an event that's taking place in 3 or 4 weeks. It's Saturday, April 27th. It's a nationwide, actually a worldwide simulcast of an event that's going to be hosted in Minnesota. This is the Blended and Blessed event, and it's designed for who?
Well, it's designed for couples in blended families, also appropriate for dating couples who have kids. We would love for pastors and youth leaders and people who just want to understand blended families a little better to be a part of it as well. But it's an enrichment day for couples in blended families.
And folks who live in the Minneapolis area are invited to attend the live event. But folks all around the world on their cell phones, on their laptops, in their living rooms, in local churches can connect to the Blended and Blessed event. You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, to find out how you can connect or how you can be a host church for this event. You've got a lineup of speakers that include the new hosts of Family Life Today, Dave and Ann Wilson. And as we've already heard this week, part of the reason for that is because Dave's story, your story is an all-too-typical story of the American family in our day. More and more, this is what young people are experiencing as families dissolve and disintegrate.
You know, one of the things I want to say to people who are listening that know and love somebody in a blended family, or perhaps you're in a blended family, Dave's experience won't be exactly like every kid who has a step-parent or has divorced parents. But there will be some themes that I think will people can find in common.
Let me just do a recap of where we've been already. Christmas Eve, when you were 7 years old, Dave, family went to church, you came home, more presents than you'd ever seen. You open them up on Christmas Eve, which was not the normal practice. You wake up the next morning and your mom says, Dad's gone. And you didn't know what that meant, but what that meant was the divorce was final. He'd moved out. You and your family eventually relocated to Ohio. Your relationship with your dad was pretty sporadic and strained, and all kinds of emotions that you were processing as you were going through all of that. We've had that conversation. In fact, Ron, because you have been doing counseling for decades, this felt a little bit like you said, you were on the couch and it's been a counseling session.
Yeah, how am I doing, Ron?
Yeah, you're doing great.
Doing okay?
Yeah.
All right, can we end this now? Do we have to keep talking?
Well, unfortunately, we always have to figure out how the past is affecting the present.
Yeah. Mm.
And so—
Oh, there's no effects.
No residue?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Just ask my wife.
Yes. That's why we brought her here, to be honest.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that's interesting is that we haven't talked about yet is just how you coped with all this. I mean, I've heard you in the past in different venues say different things. So let me just toss a couple of words at you.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure these are right, and you can comment on those.
All right.
I heard you say you were jealous of your dad's new wife, and she had a son, I believe. She had a stepbrother.
Yeah, right? I had a stepbrother.
Okay. And so a little jealous of how dad spent time and invested in them, his new family, and not in you.
Right.
And so it made it hard for you to move toward them. So part of your coping was to just withdraw and retreat and stay away.
Oh, definitely. I stayed away. I really lived in a little cocoon with my mom up in Ohio. My dad would come in every once in a while, I didn't want to go down and see them now in Miami. Mm-hmm. Again, I was so sad and felt betrayed and abandoned.
Yeah.
I did. It was sort of mandated I go see them. I'm glad I did now, mm-hmm. but it wasn't something I look forward to.
Yeah. Did you have any kind of relationship with your stepbrother?
Very little. You know, I can remember as we got into high school and college age, we would go out and party.
Mm-hmm. He lived.
That's what I remember.
He lived full-time with his dad in Tehran.
That stepbrother did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
And so, again, he had your dad. You didn't.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And my dad didn't have a great relationship with me or his stepson.
Hmm.
Really didn't. It didn't get a lot of time with either one of us.
Is that what you guys bonded about when you started drinking?
Sort of.
Yeah.
We'd go out and, I really liked him. Mm-hmm. He was a good kid, but I didn't want to like him.
Hmm. Exactly. That's that loyalty thing that we've already talked about. And there's some guilt in there. You didn't want to move away from mom, didn't want to hurt or jeopardize that relationship with her. So let's connect some dots. When you feel abandoned and hurt and betrayed and you're worried about your mother and you're concerned about her, you retreat from some people. You move toward other people, in this case your mom, to kind of protect and honor that relationship.
And I would say too, Ron, like Dave had a full life and became really obsessed a little bit with sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he was good at it.
Threw himself into that.
Is that possible to be obsessed with sports?
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
Oh, it wasn't an obsession.
Okay, so now we're doing a program on denial.
And idolatry, it sounds like.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, this is so good.
All right, so perfectionism, not necessarily perfect, but excelling at something that gives you worth.
Right.
Like, I can't get it over here. This is a mess. That's confusing. But, man, I can do this, and I can be really good and matter.
Did it make you mad that your dad didn't come to your games?
Yes. I can remember when he showed up
at a college football
game, and he hadn't been there. You know, but I'm now on a full scholarship, and mm-hmm. I'm actually having a great season, and he's reading about me mm-hmm. down in Florida, and he shows up. I didn't even know he's coming. I walk out of the locker room, and there he is with my mom.
Hmm.
And I literally came out excited. We'd won. I'd thrown touchdown passes. I don't know. Probably threw 8 or 9 touchdown passes, right? I don't know. I do remember walking out. It was a good game. Mm. And I always loved seeing my mom. We'd go out to dinner after the game, and then she would go home. She always had a friend bring her, another man, just that loved our family and loved me. But there's Dad.
Mm.
And I can remember, I can see it in my mind's eye right now. Walking out of the locker room, I'm like, what are you doing here?
Mm.
Actually, honestly, what the blank are you doing here?
Mm.
I didn't say that to him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want
thinking.
You here, but I immediately went to, oh, now you're going to show. It connected all the dots. You're here because now you're reading about me and you're thinking I'm going to be possibly making you some money playing after college. So I was mad. And he went to dinner with us that night. And I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
You're sitting here with my mom.
And he bought you things.
He would always buy me stuff.
Yeah.
I like that. I do remember that.
Yeah. But at the same time, you knew what it was about.
I knew what it was.
And it represented kind of a false connection with him.
Exactly.
I can't imagine that you weren't resentful. I mean, you had to be.
Oh, totally resentful.
Yeah.
I covered it up. I was your, all-American quarterback type kid, trying to put on the facade.
Did you pull away from him? Did you kind of distance yourself? Like, I'm not going to let you have the satisfaction of getting my love and affection.
Totally.
Yeah.
We had a relationship, but we didn't have a relationship.
So this is where we turn to Anne.
Good.
And
good.
We've noticed some themes in Dave's life, and understandably so. You know, when you get hurt and abandoned, rejected, keep your loyalties tight where it's good and be distant where it's not good. In moments of distress, pull away, back up, excel at something, have something you're really good at and throw yourself 100% into that thing and do it great because that's part of giving you identity and meaning, purpose in life. Did any of that carry over into your marriage?
Yeah, I think the biggest repercussion was the ability to resolve conflict in our relationship. Mm. And I was 19 when we got married. Dave was 22. And so we weren't thinking about our past. We weren't thinking all these things would affect our present. And yet we would have our fights and he would leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't my style.
Yeah.
I grew up in a family that we would talk about everything. We even yell at each other but still feel secure in the love. And so we would talk about everything. So when Dave would walk out of the room, it would make me furious, not thinking, not even having the thought, well, of course he would leave and withdraw.
Mm.
because conflict is a bad thing to him.
Right. You know, I'm not even connecting those dots. Yeah. But she would follow me into the kitchen, wherever, and say, we got to talk.
Which
and
probably
would,
just made it worse.
Oh, worse.
I'd be like, get out of here. Yeah. What are we doing? Because, yeah. You know, now I know I had this belief about conflict that's bad.
Right.
You avoid it at all costs.
Right.
It ended in divorce.
I remember sitting on this bed. He left, and he went upstairs. He closed the bedroom door, and he sat on the bed, and I knock open the bedroom door, and I sit right beside him, and I put my hand on his leg. And I looked at him and said, we just need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, so there's a mechanism in him that he grew up doing a lot of. So, of course, he just continued to do that. And that is in the face of distress and conflict in a really hard situation, you just withdraw. You pull away. You retreat. You go back to where it's safe. And it wasn't safe to be with you in the conflict, so of course he would retreat. But I can totally see how, from your point of view, family, we stay engaged, we talk this out. Even if it's hard, we stay. That must have meant that he doesn't love me or something. Now, you said a minute ago, I would get furious. I'm wondering if you were really afraid he's leaving.
To be truthful, I wasn't afraid he would leave, but I think I disrespected it. I thought, what kind of a man leaves?
Mm.
I had a strong father,
mm-hmm.
and to me, it appeared to be weakness, which think about how that relayed to Dave.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing for me to relay to him. I think you're weak,
right?
Which made him withdraw even more.
Exactly. And so if he's weak, what's the follow-up to that? Like, if he's weak, then what?
Yeah, I like you're getting counseling now. This is sort of fun.
Turnaround's fair play.
I'm not sure what I think of that. If he's weak, maybe it means I have to become strong. Mm-hmm. Who will be the strong one in the family?
Mm-hmm.
How will he lead me?
Mm-hmm.
How will he lead us?
We're not safe and secure.
Right.
If he's weak. And there's the fear.
Mm-hmm.
See, so there's this huge looming thing that says, oh no, this is going to get bad. This is going to go worse. I don't know how we're going to be safe and secure. I got to get mad so he won't be that way anymore. So furious is how it came out, but fear is what was underneath it.
You're right, and I think I would push his buttons to get a reaction. Anything was better than silence.
To try to get him to not be weak.
Exactly.
And isn't that ironic?
Right.
And that worked really well, Ron.
Did it?
Yeah.
I bet it did.
It did not go well. You know, we've shared how hard our first year was in marriage many times. It's in our marriage book, and a lot of it was right here.
Yeah.
I had no idea how the past was coming like a bag of luggage into my marriage,
and
had no idea. And so that she's a strong woman, and she was pushing, and I was leaving.
Yeah.
Whether I went to another room or literally just emotionally shut down, again, not connecting any of these dots.
Right.
It took years.
Right.
We connected them eventually, but that's where we started.
Yeah. This is why, Bob, I always say you're always working on your marriage because God is always using your marriage to work on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much about ourselves we don't know until marriage forces us to look below the surface and to wrestle with the deep, deep stuff. I know we have listeners right now going, oh, my word, that's us. I get furious, but I'm really fearful of something. What is that? And they're doing self-examination in a really healthy way. And that's what God wants, is to mature us through our marriages. Of course, if we leave, of course, if we stop, if we abandon or divorce or just check out, we never do the hard work and we never grow up. But when we do, we end up in a totally different place. So let's have fun with this. This is great. Let me ask the two of you to talk to that younger self, that 19, 20, 22-year-old person who all they knew to do was get furious, all they knew to do was retreat, but had no idea why. If you could coach them, I mean, what would you say to that younger self at this point?
What I know now, I wish I'd known then, and it is this, you are loved.
Hmm.
You are actually secure. Even if it's only your mom's love you can feel at this point or see tangibly, it's real. And there's a heavenly father that's there even though your earthly father, you can't see it or feel it. I didn't know that then. I wish I'd have known it then. And you don't have to become your dad.
Yeah.
In many ways, my withdrawal, even that I brought into my marriage, was a copy of the sins of the father. The man I don't want to become, I'm becoming.
Yeah.
In many different ways. That could have been avoided if I'd known I was truly, truly loved.
Mm.
That would have, I just didn't know it.
That would have given you a source to
foundation.
Hold on to, a foundation to help you perhaps calm down in the midst of all that chaos and anger and conflict with Anne and stay engaged rather than retreat like Dad did.
Exactly.
I think I would have, if I was sitting across from me, I would have reminded myself that marriage is this beautiful agony. It's beautiful in the fact that you learn how to love someone unconditionally, and that doesn't come naturally or easily. The agony is, it's a mirror, and it's showing you your weaknesses and flaws. I think before I got married, I would have never thought that I would be an angry person and I would ever yell. I'm like, I'm so laid back, I'm chill. And this person came out like, who am I? She was always deep down there. It was just the pressure of marriage exposed it. And so I think I would have told myself, be patient and don't be surprised. And here's the biggest thing. Don't expect Dave to meet all of my needs. And don't expect Dave to be just like you. There's a part of me that thought, this is how you should do it. What are you doing? Of course he shouldn't. It's beautiful the way God made Dave. And us having to figure out this whole conflict resolution pattern became one of the best things in our marriage. And so I would say, take your time. Don't be surprised at the baggage you're going to discover. But be looking and then go to God and say, God, I can't do this. Give me wisdom. James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and he gives generously to anyone who asks.
So here's the question I've got listening to this. Everybody who gets married brings bags into their marriage, right?
Yes.
We've all got a past, and our past comes with us into our marriage. And your past may have been happy and functional. That's one kind of baggage. And you think, well, that's not baggage if you come in and it's having fun. Well, it's patterns. It's ways of relating. That's the baggage you're bringing in. So my question is, if you're coming into marriage and your childhood experience was a broken family, mom and dad split, is there anything that we can say it's likely that in the bag you're bringing into marriage there is fear? There's insecurity there. Are there some common factors that are going to accompany those? I married a woman whose parents got divorced. I don't know that we ever stopped to think about, oh, I wonder what's unique about your experience. I do know that in our dating relationship, I learned pretty quickly that Marianne had as a presupposition, men can't be trusted. I can't trust Bob because in general, men can't be trusted. So are there things like that, that a couple today, they're getting married and one or both of them are from a family that mom and dad split up? Are there things that you would say you ought to expect that this is in the suitcases you're bringing with you?
You know, I want to say yes and no. So let me explain. Yes, like in this booklet, Life in a Blender, that we've written for kids, there's those common emotions that we've talked about with Dave. Loss, sadness, fear, guilt, confusion. Those are predictable to some degree. At the same time, the answer is no, because every one of our childhood experiences leads us to certain bruises on our heart, certain emotions that tap those bruises and set us off. It's what we do with the bruise that is unique and different. You know, whether we retreat, whether we move forward, whether we react in anger, whether we react and respond in chaos, whether we move towards perfectionism as part of Dave's story. It's that mechanism that we have to analyze in terms of how we carry that into our own marriages. When I, for me, when I feel attacked, I withdraw. And I don't just withdraw to step away, to find safety. That's part of it. But it's also to let my wife know that she's out of line. So I'm making a statement with my withdrawal, right? It took me 20 years
to
learn that.
Anne just laughed a little too much on that. You could relate to that?
I can't relate. I just think that's funny.
Yes.
She can relate. She's the violator. She has done that for years to me. Come on, what are you talking about? How about denial right there?
Yeah.
I admit, I'm so messed up. There's so many things I have.
I mean, I've done it to her.
I think I need to meet with you every day.
So I'm coming back to what Ann just said a minute ago. Marriage is a beautiful agony. The agony is I have to deal with me, my pride, my blind spots, my past, my mechanisms of how I cope and respond to distressful situations in my life. What we want to do in marriage is marry somebody who just brings out the joy and the happy and the great things in us. And the odd thing about marriage, again, we're always going to be working on a marriage because God is always using it to work on us. He will constantly reveal in us another piece of the flesh that needs to die. And if I'm open and willing to look in the mirror and be taught, then I will grow and I will mature and I will connect those dots.
That's true in every marriage, whether you come from a broken background or from an intact family, whatever it is. We bring our patterns, our habits, our flesh. Mm-hmm. We bring our sin patterns into the marriage, and marriage is a great tool that God uses to bring those to the surface so those can be dealt with.
And when we get those dealt with, then we have kids.
Yeah, and new things come to the surface.
May God bless them.
And you know what? When the kids leave, new things come to the surface. I mean, it's just the ongoing. This is God's refining, sanctifying work in our lives. You and David Olson wrote a book called The Smart Step Family Marriage that is designed for couples to think through some of these issues that they're bringing to bear and to navigate the sometimes choppy waters of a new marriage if you're stepping into a step family.
It is a marriage enrichment guide for couples and blended families. It includes an online profile that gives you insight into yourself so you can begin the agony journey, and whether you want to or not, and really grow and mature your relationship.
And this is less for people who come from a broken family, but if you are starting a blended or a step family, this would be a good book for a husband and wife to go through together, a chapter at a time, go through the profile online, learn some things about each other, and with a lot of grace for each other, say, oh, okay, I didn't realize this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about this. How do we work together to pursue God in our marriage?
And of course, we want them to move toward their children.
Yeah.
Children and stepchildren. The Life in the Blender booklet helps you do that. Mm-hmm. It helps put words on your child's experience for them and their benefit. But then it also gives you a guide to help you engage in them and dialogue around what they're feeling and experiencing in your family.
We've got both resources in our Family Life Today Resource Center. Life in a Blender for parents of kids or grandparents of kids or aunts and uncles, friends, youth pastors. Mm-hmm. If you know a young person who comes from a blended family, go through this little book with them and help them identify the emotions that are attached to their experience. And then if you're starting a blended marriage, get a copy of Ron's book, The Smart Step Family Marriage. It'll help you be prepared for some of the things that are just around the corner for you. And there's a good path for you to be on so you can build a strong marriage. You just need a little guidance, and Ron provides that for you in the book, The Smart Step Family Marriage. You'll find these resources online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order at 1-800-FL-TODAY. And then don't forget, on Saturday, April 27th in Minneapolis, Ron, along with Dave and Ann Wilson, Shanti Feldhahn, Chris Brooks, and others are going to be presenting a one-day event called Blended and Blessed. This is a live event in Minneapolis. It's going to be simulcast all around the world. You can be a part of the audience for this, either as a couple or with your small group or your church. There are all kinds of ways that you can plug in and benefit from this one-day Blended and Blessed event. Again, it's Saturday, April 27th. Information's available online at familylifetoday.com. You do have to be registered to tune in, so go to familylifetoday.com for more information on how to register for the Blended and Blessed one-day event. As always, we want to take a minute and say thank you to the people who have made today's program possible. If you have benefited from the conversation you've been listening to today, here's who to thank. Thank the people who make this program possible, either as monthly legacy partners who support this work, or those of you who donate from time to time. It's your financial support that is the lifeblood of this ministry, and we're so grateful to be able to partner with you to bring this kind of practical biblical help and hope to couples and families in your community and all around the world. Thanks to those of you who have made today's program possible. If you're a regular listener and you've never donated, we'd love to have you be part of the team that helps expand the reach of this ministry, helps us reach more people more regularly with this kind of helpful information. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com or call to donate at 1-800-FL-TODAY. And we're grateful for whatever you can do to be part of this growing work. And before we wrap things up here today, the president of Family Life, David Robbins, is here with some thoughts about the conversation we've been having today. David?
Hey, Bob. I think conversations like this are so important in our day, and I'm so grateful for Ron and the leadership he gives to Family Life Blended. And I just want to share why I think it's so important. And I hope that you'll notice more and more conversations like this happening, to keep growing our understanding and compassion for different types of families. And I want to be clear, I'm not abandoning or backing away from the traditional notion of family, but I do want to expand our thoughts on how we journey alongside all families the body of Christ.
Yep.
Jesus was from a blended family, and 40% of married couples with children in the U.S. are blended families today. As a parent of biological children, I can be unaware of the unique challenges that are facing blended families. We want every family to experience God's riches through the resources of family life and to be a blessing to others so that Jesus can be more and more known in the world.
Yeah, it's why we say every home, a
godly home. Right? Yeah. God offers to show up in every home, and we want to help be a part of that. So let's move toward others in community. Let's learn people's unique stories. Let's learn what is unique about their families, and let's serve one another in love and the power of the Spirit.
That's good. Thank you. Now, tomorrow we want to talk about a new verb that has entered the vocabulary of the nation. In fact, it's become quite a hashtag. It's the verb adulting. It's what young people do to grow up and embrace adult responsibilities. Josh Burnett and Pete Hardesty will be here to take us through Adulting 101 tomorrow. And I hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lupine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.